I thank the Lord for people who write music and write lyrics that we can sing and help us in our worship of the Lord. I hope you use that daily. The other day I was riding down the road. I don't do this often, but I just was praying aloud. And every name in this room was part of that prayer. And people probably didn't look. They may think I was on my phone or something like that, but I was just praying aloud. It was just a time of, there are times when you pray and there's times when you pray, you know what I mean? And I was really calling on the bringing you and other situations before the throne of grace. And that's what we need to do for one another. The Bible talks about this place, the gathering, whether it's in a building or a hotel room or on the mountainside or, you know, wherever it might be, the gathering of the saints is known as a house of what? A house of prayer. And we need to be calling upon the name of the Lord. Teach us, Lord. Equip us, Lord. Send us, Lord. And then also bringing our various petitions before Him as well. Well, we have a picture I want you to see. And you may have seen some of these people before. You may know their story. If you don't, you will know their story. I've mentioned the story many times. But this past week, it was the 60th anniversary that these five guys were speared to death in South America. Now, we know their story mainly because the wife of this person in the middle, nice-looking young man, right? Jim Elliott, Elizabeth Elliott, who died just a few weeks ago, just a grand lady. Little side note, Nancy Lee DeMoss, she had on her program this week, Elizabeth Elliott, you know, in remembrance of this occasion, and had a two-part deal, and it was Elizabeth Elliott speaking, and I said, I recognize that. And she said, this is from KC83, and I remember sitting right there listening to Elizabeth Elliott, and I heard that address on the radio, and I said, boy, it just brought back the memories, just a grand lady. And she wrote the main story is Through the Gates of Splendor, talking about this story. And these guys went to this tribe. You see some of the tribesmen there. And they went to this tribe to share Jesus with them. The tribe misunderstood, and you know, they've since said they thought they may be headhunters. You know, whatever the case would be, these guys were all speared to death. Now that does not seem like a good plan. If I were telling God, I would say, God, you didn't protect them in the right way. And see, this is a story that went south. These guys all were trained in the scriptures, trained in sociological endeavors. They were trained to go and take the gospel to the world. And they were young and they were trained. And what a waste that was. Well, that's the way I would look at it. If you see, there's one of the guys, this is Nate Saint. He had a little boy at home when he went to South America. And the little boy is named Steve. I don't know if you can see the picture there. But Steve Saint was a little boy when he was speared to death. And that's him in the other picture with some of the tribesmen there. And Elizabeth Elliott and so forth, these widows, they said, what do we do? And her phrase was always, do the next thing. And the next thing was, well, the village still doesn't know Jesus. So went back to the village. And Steve said, we could, you know, the trail was marked with the blood of our fathers on the trees. Because when they carried him out and so forth, there were markings where we could see the blood of our fathers. And we looked at that as the blood line, the mount, the blood of Jesus paid for us to go back to that tribe. This guy, Menkaya, right here, I don't know when this picture was taken, was one of the guys who speared this man's father to death. He knows Jesus. Now, he may be in glory now, I do not know. But I get chills when I think about a story like that. This, you know, they said the important thing is we continue what God has started. And we will reach these people for Jesus. Now that's not being deterred. That's somebody who has something and they say, you know, I'm not going to stop just because, you know, you speared some of us today. We're going to keep going. And I can't even imagine. I can't get my mind around that kind of reaction. My reaction in the natural would be, let's obliterate that tribe. Forget them. Can you believe that? but through the gates of splendor. And Jim Elliot's famous phrase was always this: he is no fool who loses what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. Praise the Lord. Great verse there, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Do you trust the Lord? And that brings me to this Lord's Prayer. We started talking last week about walking with God. And I know I promised that we're going to look at even the joyful laughter that's coming as well. But in this prayer, we need, you know, Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. We know the words, but let's just go through that Lord's Prayer. And it's an amazing thing. C.S. Lewis said, I don't know where I would be if I had gotten all that I asked for. So sometimes, you know, we get the no because our request is wrong, or maybe our timing is wrong and God says slow, or if we're wrong, God says, well, let's grow. And maybe there are times when everything is right and God says go. And we understand that. And we pray. And I don't like to make things mystical, but there is a part of a mystery in our communication to God that I don't completely understand either. And sometimes you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray, and God stretches us until finally we get either our will becomes His, or maybe He answers the prayer exactly how we pray. And we see the words that Jacob read in Matthew, and I'd like you to turn to Luke, because in Luke 11 we see almost the same words, but not completely the same words. And you'll see in the first part of the passage, now it came to pass, Luke chapter 11, verse 1, he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And both in Matthew chapter 6 and the Lord's Prayer in the long form, and in Matthew chapter 11, we see the same words, although the words don't exactly match. But in Matthew chapter 6, he said, pray like this. And in Luke chapter 11, in verse 2, he says, when you pray, say. So one is says, you know, pray like this, and the other says, say this. Well, we understand that we're talking about a model prayer. This is how you structure prayer, and these are the elements of prayer. Very simple. It's not flowery. It's not overbearing. It's not hard to get your mind around. It's a simple prayer. And this is the way we pray to the Lord. And, you know, we can't say our if we're living for ourselves. We can't say Father if we don't try to act like His child. We can't say who art in heaven if we lay up no treasure in heaven. We can't say, hallowed be thy name, if I'm not striving for holiness. Or thy kingdom come, if I'm not doing my part to hasten that day. Or thy will be done, if I'm disobedient to his word. Or in earth as it is in heaven, if I'm willing not to serve him now while I'm on earth. Or give us this daily bread, if I'm not relying on him to provide. Or forgive us our debts, if I harbor a grudge against someone. Or we can't say, lead us not into temptation, if I deliberately place myself in its path continually. Or deliver us from evil if I haven't put on the whole armor of God. Or even this benediction that we don't see in all the texts. We see it in the King James. If you have an NIV or ESV, you will not see this phrase. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There's some disagreement if that's in a text or not. It's still a good salute or a final thing. But we won't say that if we have not put our faith into this as a loyal subject into the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If we rely upon education, we're going to get what education gives us. If we rely upon our own skill, we'll get however far our skills will take us. Or on technology, whatever technology will do, that'll be as far as we can go. We figured out yesterday, Jake and I have been... we've had these Fitbit things, and they kind of operate, you know, as you swing your arms and so forth, they kind of count a step. And we figured out, Jacob, he really, because I mean, I was beating him by steps like crazy. And I pace. Anybody else pace? I mean, I just pace. I'm always, I like to stand and read even. I just like to walk. But we could not figure out the big disparity. And we would measure, you know, and it's right on there. Jacob said, I just can't keep up. And he said, wait a minute here. And we figured out that Dad talks like this all the time. and we said, I said, that's not adding steps. We figured out, yes, it is. So I was like, here we go. You know, I can lay him down and do that. So, And I told him, we're going to strap my arm down, you know, so I won't be able to beat him. But he was really happy that we pulled the bloom off that rose, I guess. So technology is even limited. When you rely upon an organization, you get exactly what your abilities to organize. But when you rely upon prayer, you get to rely upon what God can do. And, you know, I've had it with limiting myself in my own desires and my own power. Alexander Slosky, a Russian Nobel laureate years ago, he was giving an address to Harvard University. And he says, I have placed too much hope in politics and social reforms, only to find out that we were being deprived of our most precious possession, that is, our spiritual life. So in this prayer, we see that it is a prayer. It's not tacking on as an afterthought. It's what Jesus did. Notice in chapter 11 of Luke what happened. A disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, why did he say, Lord, teach us to pray? It must have been something that was remarkable about Jesus. It said Jesus went to a certain place to pray. Some of you have seen the movie War Room that came out this past year, right? War Room, the lady had a certain place to pray. Not that that's magical. No, nothing about that. But he did it as a matter of course to the degree. The disciples kept seeing him do this. And one of them said, Lord, okay, teach us to pray. Now, these guys were Jewish people. They understood prayer. They didn't understand how to pray. And there were two different things. They understood when you stop and you do everything you're supposed to do as you've been taught as a child. But they did not understand what Jesus was doing. He was doing something different. He was not just reciting things. He was over there visiting with somebody. And we want to do that. This must be a biggie because he keeps doing it. We want to do this. Could you teach us to pray? And when Jesus started breaking down this prayer, very simple prayer, it was quite a communication device. It did not have anything that was out of the ordinary. You didn't have to be a rabbi to understand it. Anybody could get their mind around this. This prayer is recorded twice in Scripture, and there's different wording in each recording. Same words, but Matthew's longer. Jesus warns against repetitive prayers even. We see that in Scripture. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. And that was said right before he taught these people how to pray. So when you pray, don't just recite again and again and again. And we can do that with the Lord's Prayer. You know, most of us grew up saying that at least once a week. And I think that's a fantastic thing. But it can become ritual. And rituals can be good. But if rituals lose their meaning, they can also be bad. Now, on Friday nights, one of my jobs when I'm a back judge is to go get the visiting team. And I go into the locker room and so forth, and then I'm saying, you got 2 minutes or whatever. And a lot of times, these public schools, yes, but they will gather together, and the coaches, you know, giving them what for and all this kind of stuff. But sometimes they will gather together and they'll pray. A kid will pray, or maybe the coach prays. And many times, the teams will say the Lord's Prayer. And you know, when you hear a bunch of guys whose voices are changing say the Lord's Prayer, it's really great. You know, it's all a big grunt, you know, and it's really quite amazing. And I sit there every Friday night and I said, Lord, as they're praying, I said, Lord, help this in some ways to get inside one of those guys' heart, maybe many of them. Help this to really mean something. Because we can say things in repetition and it have no meaning. And then on the other hand, I think, Lord, at least there is an acknowledgement of God going on here, and I praise God for that. So we understand saying things in repetition and it being vain. Repetition is fine if it's not in vain. Just like using the name of the Lord is fine if it's not used in vain. Using it in vain means misusing it or using it just to get something checked off a list. And we need to be careful of that. The prayer is repeated nowhere else in the New Testament. We have no record of believers using this prayer in any other prayer passage in the Bible. But I believe if the Lord taught the disciples to do this, when it says they prayed in Acts, they structured prayer something similar to what Jesus did. Because, you know, that's just what they would have done, is to follow the teachings of the apostles there. And I don't think those guys, when they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, they didn't take that lightly. They said, let's write this one down, you know. And several things kind of strike me about this request. And the number one, and I think this is key, they saw Jesus doing it. the question is, do people see you praying? Now, you're probably saying, wait a minute. Now, Scripture tells us don't go out there and parade in front of others. You know, go in the closet. I get that. The question is, do the people closest around you, do they know you pray? They know you pray because you talk about what you prayed for. And God answered prayer. Jim, I think this is great. Here, we prayed, and the Lord answered. It doesn't always happen exactly like that, but we're going to stop and say, this is what happened that day. This morning, Christy had a situation last night with one of her websites disappear. And that happens every now and then. They have things that change over in these hosting, and it's, you know, if my head's here, it's way up there over me. I could not do anything. And she said, well, this website has disappeared, and I don't have good technical support over the weekend and so forth. And I got up this morning, and I was just, you know, praying about the day. And I said, Lord, I just ask that you would give a simple solution to this complex problem so that she does not have to be worried or bothered by that. Maybe that's a better word, today. And the website was just fine this morning. And now, it does not always happen like that. And you might say, well, it's cause and effect. I don't know anything. I can tell you this. I prayed, and God answered. When I was a kid, we were in Tuscaloosa. I can't remember what grade, sixth grade or something like that. We had a dog, fine dog. Dog's name Squeaky. Remember Squeaky? Had this dog, and you know, I don't know what he was. I looked up one day. I finally found the closest thing I could find was a German short-haired pointer. In other words, a Heinz 57. You know, he was a dog, and we had this dog. And right before Christmas, we were outdoors, and the dog got hit, and he was right in front of the house, and he was yelling and, you know, yelping, and he was across the street. We're trying to get him to come across the street, and he would not. Finally, he decided to do so when a car came down the road. Most dogs I had in my life all ended up the same way in the middle of the road. I remember that as a kid, you know. But here he was, and he was hurt, and we took him to the vet, and the vet said, oh, here's what we can do, and here's what it will cost. And, you know, it's Christmas time and so forth. And we said, well, we'll have to put the dog down. And the vet called hours later. He said, come get the dog. He said, I did the surgery. I can't put a dog to sleep right before Christmas. And we brought the dog home. And, you know, the dog, we laid him up in the living room. He had a big splint on his leg. And the dog lived for years, moved to Pleasant Grove with us. You know, he always had arthritis in that hip. But he lived for years after that. Now, here's the key to that. He was just a dog. But I prayed. I said, Lord, could you save Squeaky? Now, I was a kid praying, right? And I don't know anything about what all happens, but I can tell you what. That time, God says, I want to teach a little kid about prayer. And he did. And like I said, it doesn't happen like that all the time, but I believe in faith when I pray. So we take the prayer, and so let's begin this prayer. The disciples weren't known for their praying. You know, we don't see a lot of times when it talks about what they prayed, it just says they prayed, you know, and after prayer and so forth. This prayer is not focused on me. It's not focused on mine, really. It's focused on him. So let's look at the first two words, and if you get the first two words, when you get the first two words, it will change your life. Because the first two words, actually the first four words, but the first two words are the most dramatic, Our Father. If you can say Our Father, do you know how grand and glorious that is? We have so many things we talk about in the Lord. And when we say Our Father, our focus is on Him. It's an intimate time of developing a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. Prayer is best done in concert with other believers, yes. Prayer is not an exercise in isolation. We must regard other Christians and our brothers and sisters when we pray. We say, Our Father. Not just my Father, but Our Father. And this is not a universalist tone here. I went and read R.C. Sproul last night talking about this. And he said, many people misunderstand the Our Father. Sometimes they extrapolate that out a little bit and they say, Our Father, meaning Father God over all religions. He said, that's not what we're getting at here at all. Jesus is talking about Our Father. In other words, you who follow me, you can join together. You are my brother and sisters. You're joint heirs with me. And being a joint heir with me means you can call him Father. Our Father. Our Father, where is this Father? In heaven. But I think about this Our Father. We go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and we see that when man fell into sin, we were away from the Father. And in John 8:44, the Bible says we have a new Father. And this new father is not of heaven, but this new father is of the earth. It is the evil one. And we have allegiance. We are born naturally under the sonship of this evil one. In other words, we're born into sin. But when we get born again, we see in John chapter 3, verses 3, 7, and on, we have been adopted back into the family of God, and we have the rights to call God Father. Now, I don't want to stretch it. I don't want to get animated, but I want you to know we don't have to even say Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. You know, Jehovah Jireh means God provides. Jehovah Shalom means God of peace. And we see all the Jehovahs in the Old Testament, and they're fantastic. And God has all those roles. He's the provider. He's the sustainer. He's the revealer. He is God present. He is all that. We can capture it in one word, God our Father. We don't have to say, you know, the Lord provides because our Father provides. We don't have to say the Lord who reveals because our Father reveals Himself. I want you to really, today, go in excitement. And knowing that when you pray, you can say, our Father, our Heavenly Father. And He hears you as a child. That's fantastic. That is the good news of the gospel right there. It speaks not only about this relationship, but about a reality. And this reality is a reality of glory and wonder. And we see in these verses, Hebrews chapter 11, 6. Matter of fact, somebody turn to Hebrews 11, 6. We're going to read that in just a second. But I'm grateful that we serve a God who is our Father. And our Father is not a God who was and not a God who will be. Here, He is those things, but He is a God who is. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, Moses was talking with the Lord. And the Lord said, I am that what? I am. That's the way He described Himself. I am. I am. Right this second, God is. In the next second, God is again. And He is again, and He is again, and He is again. And you can keep saying it until you're blue in the face. He is again. And the great I am is the one who has glory and honor. And as a matter of fact, it says, our Father, and it says, where is He? Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father in heaven. I love the words which art. Most of us know the Lord's Prayer, by the way. Our Father, which art in heaven. So our Father, and He is. Our Father, which is. Our Father, which art. Our Father, who exists. Our Father, the I am. Our Father, which art. And the which art really kind of, you know, explains the our Father. And it's not our Father Abraham who was. Our Father, which art. In heaven. Somebody read Hebrews 11, 6. Anybody have that?
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him.
If you haven't memorized, if you're memorizing Scripture this year, that will be a great verse to remember. Because in faith, we believe that He is and that He exists. And in believing that, He rewards those who believe and rewards those who diligently seek Him. I remember as a young college student reading, I can't remember who wrote it. It may have been J.I. Packer. I can't remember who it was. But it was Following Hard After God. And, you know, I think about that all the time. It's following hard after God. I'll tell you another thing I've been thinking about, you know, devoting and following hard and working hard at preaching the Word of God. You know, it doesn't matter if it's 2 or 2,000. When you preach hard, you work hard at preaching the Word of God and nothing else, and being true to that Word. So I think about that verse right there. Do you have faith in the Lord? When you have faith in the Lord, you start to say, our Father, which art in heaven. And you believe on His name, and you believe as you pray. Well, there's another thing about these first couple of words here. Our Father, which art in heaven, gives us a place to rest, and we rest in this place. It says, our Father which art in heaven. Now, that's a piece of good news too. He is not confined. He is not put underfoot. Our Father which art in heaven. And He is in heaven. And He hears us from heaven. He has sent Jesus in body form to be with the disciples. Then when Jesus left, He sent His Spirit to live in us. Our Father is in heaven. The Spirit is in us now. And we should enter into His presence humbly. And I think about our Father is God. He made this world. He is holy. He is wonderful. We, on the other hand, are not holy. We, on the other hand, are not worthy. Yet He bids us come. He bids us come through this Holy Spirit. Come, and you can come, and you can call me Father. We should enter confidently. Well, that kind of is contradictory to humbly. We come humbly. We also enter confidently. All of my kids, these young men and women, and I've really changed my language and so forth. When I pray, that these young men and women, Benjamin, I say these old men and women, but these men and women. And when the boys and I are at lunch or something, I pray for these men, you know. Well, but these people come to me, and they come in confidence. They come in confidence because there's a long history of being able to come in confidence to Dad. Now, Dad may not always listen, probably doesn't do that, but over the course of time, you come with anything, and sometimes He gets out of joint, but really He didn't get too out of joint and all this kind of stuff. We can come to Him, you know why? Because He cares for me. And you have confidence to go to the Lord because you know He cares for you. We enter His presence worshipfully. Each day, as I pray, like I mentioned, I was going down the road the other day praying for you worshipfully. I don't know what triggered that time of prayer because I pray a lot. But that time I said, Lord, I just want to call out to you aloud. And I was riding down the streets and it was as if I did not remember the streets where I was because I was just praying to the Lord. I was mentioning your name, just calling upon the name of the Lord and doing that worshipfully even in the car situation. But I hope you have times at home. I hope you have times of quiet and solitude where you worship. We worship together here. I love singing songs. I love being here. But we worship in corporate sense, but I hope you do that individually as well. We should enter His presence hopefully. I come hopeful when I approach the throne of grace. But finally, under this first thing, our Father in heaven, that puts on us responsibility. Because when we say our Father, right then and there, we start talking about the corporate body of Christ. And if we're going to say our Father, not my Father, or we can say that, but our Father, then it puts the impetus upon us to think of others as we pray and to think of others in our actions. Notice both times, our Father, which I guess was good news for those disciples. Because Jesus said, well, you know, I hate to tell you, but when I go out there on that rock and pray and you're left over here, that's me and Father talking. You can't be a part of that. No, He says, let me teach you how to do this as well. By the way, were the disciples before Pentecost, we see the disciples' prayer life, don't we? We see it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember what they did? What did they do in prayer? Slept. Yeah. And now, by the way, if you ever have times we sleep, you know, say, okay, Lord, I'm fallible. I want to do better, but at least I'm in good company. And because sometimes, you know, we do that. We say, Lord, I just can't sustain. You know, I want to pray and I just hits the ceiling, so to speak. But when we rest in prayer, we rest in knowing that our Father, which art in heaven, hears us and He cares for us. That brings us to the second phrase. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's a great word as well. I love the word hallowed. It is about reverencing. So we rest in the fact that God is our Father. We rest in the fact that He is in heaven. We rest in the fact that He hears us. But then we hallow. We build up His name. And you don't think about this being a petition, but it really is. It's one of those things. It's saying, okay, Lord, hallowed be your name. Let your name be above all names here. Now, I mentioned those words from the Old Testament. And we see Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner, our victory. Jehovah Shalom, Lord is our peace. We see the Lord is our righteousness. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord of hosts over the Lord of battles. The Lord is there. The Lord who is the healer. And we see Elohim, meaning God. We see the Lord Most High. We see all these words for the Lord. But as we come to God, we simply say, hallowed be your name. Your name means all. All that we have, all that we will have, all that we are and will be, your name is above those things. Lord, you, before we get into asking for daily bread, we know that you provide. Before we get into asking you for healing, we know that you heal. Before we get into ask you to help mend our broken relationships, we know that you give us the ability to do that as well. Your name is above all names. It'd be a great time to sing Jesus' name above all names. Name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, the whole nine yards. His name is wonderful and is powerful. I want you to know, we don't use the name of the Lord in vain. We use the name of the Lord because it has power. And we see three things here, and I mentioned these. We see this description. And the description is of God and this I am, the presence of the Lord in prayer. Our Lord is in heaven. Hallowed be His name. His name is set apart. His name is different. His name is above all names. When I mention certain names, you have reactions in your mind. I'm going to mention a couple names. You don't have to tell me what your reaction is, but I'm going to mention names. J.D. Rockefeller. You know, it may go to Standard Oil. It may go a lot of money. You know, J.D. Rockefeller lived to be an old guy. And he was a Baptist from Cleveland, Ohio, very strict Calvinist, and you know, everything by the book. I remember I studied him one time, so I want to be like J.D. Rockefeller. As a young man, he had a little chart, every penny he spent and so forth. But the problem with J.D. Rockefeller was in midlife, somewhere in his 40s, though, he was so rich by that time, but he was so sick that he was reduced to eating crackers and milk. Now, if you're I don't know if he was the richest man in the world at the time, but if you're really rich, it's no fun to eat crackers and milk. And he started praying about that and kind of had a revival in his life and started thinking, you know, maybe I started giving this money away. He started giving money away and his health returned. And you know, the Rockefeller family, love them, whatever how you feel about them, they're still trying to give the money away today. And it's amazing when you start giving and obeying God, you keep having resources and you can't even extinguish it all. You hear the words Donald Trump. Well, you know, that brings up a thing in you because you see him on the news all the time. Or you might hear LeBron James and there's a picture that comes into mind. So we understand what a name means. What does the name Lord God Almighty mean to you? What does the name, when you hear the word God or Jehovah or Yahweh or our Father, what picture comes into your mind? Well, it's also not just the description, but there is a decision. We see, oh God, oh my God, Jesus, oh Jesus. We see all those names used in vain today. Which way do you use that name? And do you use the name in making a decision? He is my Lord. He is my God. Hallowed be His name. I think it's interesting that personal pronoun that Jesus used. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be His name. His name is above all names. When you get in times of trouble, do you call out to God and say, God, I'm praying to you because you're bigger than my trouble. You're bigger than the evil one who's trying to pull me down. But there's a devotion too, because when you think of hallowed be His name, it speaks of who God is, but it also expresses a desire on the part of the one praying to worship Him for who He is and what He has done. I worship Him. We come today and we worship God. You know, it's not about us coming to get fed. That's part of it. I hope that happens. But it's about us coming as the collect to worship God. We bring a sacrifice when we come. We get up when it's cold on Sunday. You know, I might rather do other stuff. We get up and we say, I'm going to sacrifice to go and gather with God's people and worship the Lord. And as we do, for we hallow His name. We sing the songs. What songs did we sing today? Sing the song, oh Lord, I lift your name on high. Great song. You know, we lift up the name. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. We acknowledge that in Lamentations, your faithfulness. You know, we acknowledge that. Then we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Isn't that a great old song? Talking about Jesus, who's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And Jesus talked about, you know, I lay down my life for my friends and you're my friend. It's a great song there. Then we conclude about, here I am to worship. All these great songs we sing, we do so because we hallow His name and we lift it up. Well, the third phrase we're going to get to today is your kingdom come. And, we're going to touch on it real quick. I can see the clock. But we get to this, Jim. We get to this phrase, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, we are asking for His kingdom to come and all of its spiritual qualities of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We ask all that stuff to come with it. We want your kingdom here. Lord, we live in a dark world, but we want some of you to come down. And we were singing that song this morning, Bread of Heaven, feed me till I want no more. We ask that your kingdom come. And as it comes down, we want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We see all the way in the New Testament, Old Testament, we see in Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given." We've read that. And we see those words, "Wonderful Counselor," "Savior," and "Jesus has come." We see in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom on earth." So we see that Jesus came to have a kingdom on earth. In Daniel, we see this kingdom set up on earth. Chapter Luke, "He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of the father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Finally, Matthew 25:31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory." So we understand that there is a kingdom here. Not just a family of God, but a kingdom. And we have His kingdom. And we want His kingdom to be breathed on earth as well. Lord, the earth is lost. It's undone. It's lost its way. We're in a death spiral even. But we want Your kingdom to be here as well. And it's going to be seen in the hearts of you and in me and other people who believe. The future kingdom will be vastly different from any kingdom that's ever existed upon earth. And we look forward to that kingdom one day. But I want a touch of His kingdom here and a touch of His kingdom now. We are God's children, God's, the King's kids, and we should be able to live like that. Your kingdom come, a personal petition. Lord, bring Your royal power, Your kingship, Your dominion to rule, to bear on this world. Help me with Your Holy Spirit in life. In my life, to be a royal priest who goes out imparting the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with all power of a king, because I have the King of Kings living in me. This kingdom is practical. I don't want Your kingdom to be there. I want it to be here and now. And I want it to come and live and be manifested through me. Well, we're going to end there. We'll pick up later. I want you this week to practice prayer. I want you to design your prayers around the Lord's Prayer. You know, you use your words, your way, but just practice designing your prayer around this. And say, our Father, and what does that mean? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and do it through me. And I want you to add words to that and just pray the Lord's Prayer. And I think as you do, you'll walk with Him and you'll know Him in a more personal way. Do you believe God is personal? I do, because I know Him. And you know, sometimes I can't explain that to people at times. I said, I can't tell you, I just know Him. And as you dive in with Him, you get to know Him. And He reveals to you things. And He lets you know that He is ever present in your life. I would advise you also to take scriptures of promise. Take them out. Put them on your mirror. You know, I will never leave you or forsake you. All those promises. Just bathe your mind with the Word of God. And when you enter into prayer, get to know Him personally. But we'll stop now. We'll conclude the Lord's Prayer next week. And I'm sorry for rushing through, but it's just it's so much in a short amount of time. So let's pray together. Our Father, and Lord, we know that You are in heaven. And we lift up Your holy name. We lift Your name on high. And I pray, Lord, that Your kingdom will be in us as we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, citizens of the kingdom of God. Help Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, that can only happen if we are obedient servants of Yours. And you will do Your will through us. And Father, we praise You and we thank You for what You have done, what You will do, and what You are doing. We thank You for being the I Am. You are right here with us every step of the way. And Lord, we look forward to knowing You face to face. Lord, we thank You that You have not left us alone, but You've sent Your Holy Spirit to live in us, to train us, to help us in prayer, to help us in unbelief, to help us in our study of Scripture, to help us to understand how to live out Your will on earth as it is in heaven. We thank You for that, but we long for the day when we see You face to face. And Lord, we look forward to that. But as we're here, help us to finish our assignment and finish it strongly. We thank You for the examples of Jim Elliot and Nate Saint and many others that we could mention who gave it all in order to gain what they can never lose. Mm-hmm. We praise you for their memory. We praise you for their example. But Lord, most of all, do it in us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.